cool. Like, obviously when it came out, and I think that was a very big album for me, especially in helping me get through finals week.
Oh, awesome.
I pretty much just listened to that thing just
How'd you do on those finals?
I did very well, Jeff. I attribute a lot of that to you. I'm not going to lie. So I got those grades back, and I was like, Jeff Rosenstock endorses doing well in school, right?
Thanks. I should get a piece of your diploma.
I'll send you
just
a clipping.
Thank you.
Exactly. So how has the tour been going so far? You guys are pretty deep into it now, right?
Yeah, it's going great. It's going really, really, really good. Nice. It's cool. Since Worry came out, things have been going, I don't know, since We Cool came out, things kind of stepped up a level from where we were at in Bomb, and since Worry came out, it's been the same thing. It's kind of hard to explain it without seeming like a douchebag. I feel like I can say douchebag on the radio,
of
right?
Of course you can. You can say whatever you want, Jeff.
Well, like, I don't want to. I know.
No, but
I had a college radio show. I know what happens with it. yeah, with Bomb, like things grew really, really slowly, and it was awesome. And with both of these records coming out, things have like seemed to take like really big leaps, which is fun for all of us because we've all been playing music in bands for like 15 years, man. So when things are going as well, it's just like cool, sick. I kind of gave up on like things ever going well, and we were still just like, yeah, let's just keep doing it because we love doing it. So tour's been going super fun. It's been really, really fun. Roswell Kid is the best band in the world to hang out with. Menzingers are our friends from home. It's like really nice.
Roswell Kids seem like the most hilarious dudes in the world.
They're Jordan right now, which by the time this air might be done, he downloaded the movie The Mask and is editing out every part where Jim Carrey or anybody is wearing a mask. And
he's doing one of the meme things where they do weird stuff with all the movies, and like with Shrek.
I guess so. I don't know. And this isn't like me trying to be like, hey, I'm a ironic, hip guy. But I don't really, meme culture is confusing to me. I thought that memes were just like, it's a picture of something, and then you print something in the impact font in all caps on top of it. But now is it just any visual joke on the internet?
It's any online thing now.
It's like an online
trend. It's
well, see,
crazy.
That's how I read it too. But apparently, you can attribute that to GIFs or GIFs. There's quite the heated debate.
I'm a GIF guy.
You're a GIF guy.
Yeah.
See, I don't. It's not the peanut butter. There's not a J there.
Exactly. It's a GIF. You just pronounced it GIF. Is that because you thought I was a GIF guy? I didn't know what a freaking meme was. I'm not a GIF guy.
I wasn't sure if you were a GIF guy or not.
Anyway, Jeff Rosenstock.
He's a Jeff guy.
Jeff guy, exactly. All right, so we got that.
What is meme?
What is a GIF? I'm doing well in college because of you. So we got all of that.
Oh, did that make it in there? Good.
That's going in there, Jeff. I'm telling you. Well, I am curious though on that note. How did it feel then with, I guess when We Cool came out and then when this record came out, how that just kept stepping up? Because I know reading interviews with you, you're not necessarily one to taunt yourself, and you're just like, or not taunt yourself, but just like, you know.
I am one to taunt myself.
but be super flashy though.
I think naturally as a person, I like to interact with people as another person opposed to like being, I don't know. Letting any of that stuff go to my head or like trying to be like too cool to talk to somebody, like that isn't me. I feel weirded out when people feel weirded out talking to me, because I'm just like, this is just this thing I do that I've been doing for a long time. It feels great that things are going well. It's really nice. Like, we are, you know, it's cool. It's a good feeling when you're playing shows and there's that energy there that's like feels similar to the energy of the shows that I used to go to when I was a kid. And it's just like we'd always I spoke with Joe Sib before we signed with Side One. He was like, "Where do you want? Like, where do you hope this is gonna get you?" Like, my answer was just like, I want to like be able to play to 200 people everywhere and like. That seems like a lofty goal for me.
Yeah.
And it seems like we're kind of like we're basically at that, which is just like,
I mean, the crowd's a nice.
Sick, man. Well, the crowd's here. This is like Menzingers, you know. This is not just for us. But like, It's like, I just want to be able to play music to people wherever. And like, I feel really lucky that we're able to do it right now. So I'm just kind of crossing my fingers it'll last for a little while.
It's going to, man.
And if it doesn't, it'll be like, all right, it didn't. And we got to do this cool stuff for a while.
Yeah.
I feel like that with all the bomb stuff too. It was just like, we did a fun thing. And I'm really happy that we did it. And I feel no remorse or no nostalgia for it. It's just like, I just feel so fortunate for being able to do any of the shit, you know?
But
any of this stuff, sorry.
You're good. Say what you want, Jeff.
It seems like it happened all pretty organically, though.
Yeah.
Right, with, yeah.
So yeah. I don't know why. I think, like, you know, AJJ got really big, and that they helped me out a lot. Like, they took us on tours, and it was just all kind of stuff that I think our little world just helps each other out. Like, modern baseball likes our band and likes a bunch of the bands from our world, and they're younger than us, so they took us on tour, and like, that was a really huge thing too. And like, working our records with Dan Andriano and touring with him, like, I think it was all just kind of like, we got to tour with friends who were very generous and let us go out with them, and that really helped us out. And Jamie at Side One Dummy has been like a maniac promoting our records, and like, it's just all other people are really looking out for us. Like, we did, like, I don't know how to do all this other stuff to make a band popular. I don't know how to make that happen.
Yeah, just
so
take it.
I'm glad other people are trying to figure it out. But yeah, it is, it's organic, because it's always just like, I don't know, I'm not gonna, like, we're not gonna try, basically.
Yeah.
Like, if it happens, we're like, cool. But if it doesn't happen, like I was saying before, like, where we're at now, we're just like,
I mean,
this kicks ass.
Yeah.
That's fine. Like, that's good, you know?
But I definitely think that's a draw to you. Like, I was listening to a Feist interview, and she was talking about how she never wants to be forced to write a song, and I think that's how your records come off. Is
yeah.
It's like, you know, everything comes across as organic. I know it's authentic. And
yeah.
I want to get into Worry and a little bit, too, and the lyrical content on there as well.
Sure.
But, like, that's how everything seems to come across with you, is like, there's no bullshit, and this is, you know.
It's like, I write this song because I want to write the song.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, trying to finish up a record. Like, I'm writing a song because I want to write a song.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm lucky that I wrote the last two so fast, because I'm sure Side One would have been knocking down my door,
like,
and just be like, hey, come on, album cycle, let's get another one. And I would just be like, no, you know, when it's done, it's done.
That's a good question then. So how are you, kind of like the type of songwriter that's like always just kind of playing around and like writing stuff, or like, I feel like We Cool came out, and then like, what was it, 2 years, and then Worry came out?
Yeah, yeah, but We Cool took about a year to actually come out, because
we
recorded it, and then Side One got in touch with us after we recorded it, hearing that the demos were good.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, we're almost done with the record. Why don't you just like wait 3 days, we'll send you the record.
Yeah.
And then there was just like a lot of kind of going around about what to do. And then it was like the end of the year. It's like, you don't put out records at the end of the year. So then we waited a while. So by the time we did our first tour for We Cool, like half of Worry was already written.
Okay.
Yeah. It just kind of, I'm always writing. I think it's more about like putting the pieces together. That's the challenge for me.
Yeah.
Like, that was a challenge with Worry, too. That's a challenge with the new stuff I'm writing now. It's just like, when you have like a bunch of songs, finding the ones that like make a thing together, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, then let's definitely get into Worry. So I know this is the first, I remember in the documentary, but you're talking about the advance you guys got, and you're like, well, let's just put ourselves by the sea. I'm curious, I know you, pretty much all the records you've done yourself.
Yeah.
Right? So how did this feel going in there, doing that with Jack Shirley and being in like a studio and like having the whole setup? Was it, I guess, what was that experience like?
It was awesome. It was cool. It was, I mean, like, we recorded with Jack Shirley for We Cool when we didn't know.
Oh, okay.
We didn't know what was going to happen. Like, I think the options at the time we recorded it was, I was going back and forth between putting it out myself or doing it with Asian Man.
Okay.
So I just paid for that recording. I saved up. It was money that I had saved up from the record I put out, the solo record, I Look Like Shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a really big leap, because that was the first time we'd done it in a real play, like with a genius. Jack Shirley's awesome. Like,
yeah.
I was like, hey, who's the person who I want to make records with? And Jack Shirley somehow was cheap enough to make records with him. Like, he was my first choice. But going up to the house and stuff for Worry, it was just like, okay, we knew that we had X amount of money to make a record.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, well, and if I throw in like $4,000 for from I Look Like Shit again, like I did on the first record. Yeah. Like, we could just go to this place that I saw an ad for at Tape Op that looks like it's beautiful. We could see if we could bring Jack there.
Yeah.
And we did, and it was amazing. Like, I've never gone into a situation before, like, knowing that, I don't know, just like being able to, we walked in, it was just like, wow, we felt like a rock and roll band. Like, we learned the songs from Worry while we were on tour in Europe. And then we went to a house in the mountains to, like, record, like, a record on tape overlooking the beach. Like, it's just like, yeah, I felt like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. it was cool.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So one of the things I really appreciate about your songwriting, like I said, is just how honest it is. I know with a lot of the stuff on We Cool, it seems like a lot of the lyrics seem to kind of question, you know, the idea of, like, dealing with those conversations with people, being like, you know, Jeff, where are you at? Like, yeah, like all that. But especially with, like, some of the Bomb the Music Industry stuff, I know, like, my brother and I saw you on this tour.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And
the Damn Tour. That was the last time we're here.
Exactly. And you came out and played Stand There Till You're Sober.
Yeah.
That's maybe
the only time that's happened since that band is broken up.
Which is hilarious because
we were having a bad day. Was that clear? Yeah, our van died. Like, van died that day. And also, like, something was, like, one of my guitars broke. Like, just, like,
Your cord was messing up.
Yeah, like, all the things that, like, you're just like, will something go right today, please? You know?
Well, I remember the funny parts of that, too, was Pat from Sprainer, like he played his guitar, and you're like, all right, I'm going to get the set up. You're like, you guys jam. And then, like, and you're like, this is awful.
Breaking the fear of jamming in our band has been a very positive move for us, and unfortunately probably a very negative move for the audience, but, you know,
I mean, we're cool with it. exactly. But I'm curious though, I mean, just with how things are going, like, you know, like you said, you just keep to nice, dude.
I wish he was closer to our car.
I know. What would he listen to? But anyway though, yeah, like, dealing with those conversations, like, do you feel like now, like, this is like, I guess, like, you get, like, affirmation of, like, I know where I'm supposed to be.
I don't know. I feel like if I think about that, then I'm going to stop writing the way I write. And I also don't take where I'm at for granted, and I don't think it's going to be there. Like, I don't know if the next record anybody's going to care about it. I don't know, you know? So, no, it doesn't. I still kind of feel as confused. But the fact that it looks like I'm doing well really goes a long way with family members. Like, for example, my in-laws are at the show tonight. Like, the last show I played in Wisconsin, which is where my, I guess, aunt-in-law is from, was at, like, a house on campus. Okay. She's like, you can't come to this, and I'm always doing this weird thing, so it's sick that the Menzingers are here bringing their crowd to our show to make my mother-in-law and my aunt-in-law think that my band is more popular than
they are. I feel like
getting USA Today number one record of the year by a guy who got fired 2 days later.
Did he really?
He did. He knew he was going to lose his job. I don't know if he did it because he knew he was going to lose his job, none of my family knows that.
Yeah, you're like, you can just
hey, yo, what's up? You said that. You know?
Well, nice, man. So, yeah. That was, I mean, that was on, I think, both our top lists on the KCSU website, too.
Yeah, I think that was our number one album.
Yeah, it
was edged out Beyonce, just like USA Today one.
Yeah. Well, no, what was the Collegians? Like, Ed Sheeran?
Oh, yeah. No, Collegians said Green Day for the...
Exactly.
Weird.
Yeah,
exactly. That is weird.
It was so weird.
Love Green Day. Love Green Day.
Yeah.
Love Green Day.
Wasn't the best
if
album
it wasn't for Green
though.
Day, I wouldn't be in a band, but, like, yeah.
That album is not...
but I don't know. I got into Green Day such a long time ago that who knows? Yeah. This is my fear that Green Day is going to be listening to this.
So, another thing I'm curious about, Worry, with the end of the documentary...
Yeah.
Was that recording process pretty tense sometimes? Because I feel like that documentary was, like, going cool and then just, like, hard left return. Like, when I was watching it,
Kevin didn't kill himself.
I know that point, yeah.
We wanted to make... So my buddy James Brown, who made that, is he's an actor in horror movies. He's an actor, he's a writer, he's a director. And before we went out to the house to record, I think I was just like stoned one night, and I was like, "Hey James, you want to make a documentary about our record that turns into a horror movie?" And he was like, "Yup." And I was like, "Okay." And we talked about like just like making sure we filmed everything so we could cut stuff together to make it like build up to something weird. I thought it was gonna be a lot more violent, but he went with this tone that was just like really just like so tense.
Yeah.
And so like, it was just this like weird David Lynch horror movie, and when we saw it, it was just like, yeah. I was so stoked on it. Yeah. No, it was really fun recording that record. Okay. That was like, it was a fake movie. That was a fake documentary. Okay. So even made up of real footage.
All
like,
right.
There's a lot of dialogue voiceovers and stuff in that he had us record lines later that he snuck in there.
Okay.
But yeah, now that you've heard it, watch it and don't be surprised.
Okay, well that makes sense, just because I was really excited. I was like, you know, this is cool. Like, I love when bands do that. And I was like, no, Jeff, like, it'll probably be funny. And then it just got so dark.
Yeah.
I was like, holy, yeah, I'm like,
that's why it's
Kevin's
funny.
Like hanging, and I'm like, Jeff, holy shit, man.
Yeah. When I was watching it, I was just like, whoa.
You're like, this is really gonna fucking make people. That's hilarious. Yeah. Well, the other thing I'm really curious about, I saw you and Chris Farron working together. Can we expect another Antarctica record?
Either this year or next year. We're working on it. It's great. It's the songs we've done so far are so good. Chris sang so good on them. They're great songs. I love being in that band.
That's
probably the only thing I'll never be modest on. I'm just always like, Antarctica was speechy.
Antarctica's great. Well, I thought the funniest thing was listening to your Going Off Track interview you guys did, I think, when...
Leaving La Vida Loca.
Power Pop Violence is the name of the genre now.
Well, it's weird. We've had all this like crust punk imagery for a bit because we both just thought that would be funny. And now it like... I don't know. We had a shirt that said no Wi-Fi, no deadlines on it. And now with that, with like the no band, no wall stuff, it's like, oh, God. Yeah. We seem like real jerks. Which we are, so that's great for our brand.
I can't tell with Chris sometimes. Chris, I'm sure, is a nice dude.
Chris is the nicest person you'll ever meet in your life.
That's what I figured.
He's just funny. Every time he's being funny, he's just like, what can I do that would be funny? And then he does it, and it is.
Well, one of the jokes I had around the office I got from, like, on the inside of his solo record, when he has it signed, and it says, you're my biggest fan, Chris Farron. that's why I signed that, because I thought that was so funny that he does.
He's so funny. He had headshots that he sent out with his record.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Or like on the Worry ones when he kept like, manipulating it. But, oh my God, that's hilarious. Do you have any questions?
Are you familiar with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Oh, yes.
Well, yeah, the early ones.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I just ask this for every interview.
I feel like I'm most familiar with... The second video game.
Okay, which turtle is your favorite, if you had to pick one?
You know what? And this is going to seem like a cop-out answer, but, like, hands down, no question about it, Michelangelo. Okay. Michelangelo likes eating pizza. Michelangelo has nunchucks, which are sick. He never knows what's going on. I feel like in my younger years, I would have said Raphael, because he was a smartass.
Yeah.
And I also really like Donatello for a while. I think I like that he was, like, definitely had the best weapon, and I felt like he was really the leader. Mm. Like, Leonardo assumed the role, but, like, Donatello was the one who kicked everybody's asses. Anyway, but no, Michelangelo all the way for me. All
right.
Perfect. He loves pizza.
That's all. You have the pizza tattoo.
That's a Smith Street Band tattoo.
Is it really? Okay.
Yeah. So they have this logo that's like the trees, which is like three triangles flipped upside down to make it look like trees. It's cool.
Okay.
Chris is a graphic design genius. So when we were recording Throw Me in the River.
Oh, that's when you got that?
Yeah.
Oh,
cool. I was going to get one, and then Fitzy was like, yo, I'm gonna get them turned upside down and turned into pizzas. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do that instead. And now whenever I go to a pizza place, people talk to me, and I'm just like, I don't want to talk to you. I want my pizza, and for you to leave me alone.
Oh God, that's hilarious. All right, well, on that note, Jeff, thank you so much, man.
Cool.